Good morning. When I sat down after the pastoral prayer, having spoken to the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I haven't forgotten these other people, but you did. I need to take a page out of our president's book and carry a card with me when I start enumerating names, but let us not forget some of our other staff individuals who do such a wonderful job for us. Tom O'Boyle, who takes care of the communications to let us know what's going on, but then does so in just a wonderful and a beautiful way. And then also all those guys who are standing in the back who really make it work so that you can see me, so that you can hear me, so that those of you who are on the stream can see that. So Bob and all the guys in the penalty box there, thank you so much. And Jack Doyle as well, who helps keep our building looking so wonderful and in good repair. We're continuing this morning with this sermon series entitled Life in the Kingdom. And our scripture text for this morning is Luke chapter 17. And I've extended the reading of that text to verse 37. Just to put today's text in a little bit of a context, though we'll be dealing with a large part of that section in a couple of weeks. But for this morning, Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, 'Lo, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' but do not go, do not follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day when Lot went out from the Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let him who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let him who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to gain his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed, one will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding together, one will be taken and the other left. And they said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Lord, thank you for your word and again the opportunity to hear it read and explained that we might understand it, Lord. We pray that that might transpire here this morning. And in addition, Lord, we might know how to and be resolved to live according to its truth as we go from this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So as I said, we're continuing in this series entitled Life in the Kingdom. And we have looked at a number of topics in this area. First, kingdom, what kingdom? We've asked the question, what indeed is the kingdom of God? And then last week we talked about a kingdom of God worldview. This morning, we are going to address ourselves to the topic of here, there, and everywhere. Next week, Peter will be here and address the topic of perceiving the kingdom from Matthew chapter 7, and then you see the two remaining sermons that we'll be looking at in the weeks that are ahead. Now, thus far, we have said this with regard to the kingdom of God. A citizen of the kingdom of God honors Jesus Christ as king with a faith commitment demonstrated in dependence, worship, and obedience. In other words, a citizen of the kingdom of God is a Christian, is an individual who recognizes God as God and honors him through an obedience and a faith commitment and worship of Jesus Christ. And then additionally, that was the first week, and then last week we would add to that, and also embraces and applies a kingdom worldview to every aspect of life. So that's where we've been thus far. Now we look at the text for this morning, and it's really those first two verses that I read for you in the larger scripture lesson. Jesus is answering a question of the Pharisees. They have heard him over and over again speak about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And they ask him, Rabbi, when is the kingdom of God coming? Now, they're interested in this because the Pharisees are interested in the Messiah's coming, because when the Messiah comes, then the Messiah will bring with him the kingdom of God. And so in Jesus' answer then, we have there revealed sort of the twofold aspect of the kingdom of God. First of all, in verses 20 and 21, which we're going to look at this morning, he's saying the kingdom of God is already here. Why are you asking me when it's coming? It is here. Now, that's what theologians call realized eschatology. And again, don't worry about that. That term's not on the final exam. But it's called realized eschatology. Eschatology has to do with the last things, but some of it is realized now. So part of the kingdom of God is here, and it's called realized eschatology. And then Jesus goes on in verses 23 through 37 to talk about the last things, when the kingdom of God will come in its fullness and in its consummation. We'll look at that. I think it's on August 8th. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, in some measure, is already here. He says the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, oh, there it is. Oh, no, there it is over there. Because the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Now, that raises some interpretive questions and offers to us, in fact, three options, two of which I think are live options, and the third is not. The first option is an incarnational understanding of that. So that when Jesus said that the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, he's saying, here it is. Here I am. It's here. It's me. Jesus is claiming that indeed he is the king of the kingdom. And where the king is, there is the kingdom. And so the answer to the question of the Pharisees, when is the kingdom of God coming? He's saying it's here in measure right now. Another way of understanding in the midst of you or within you is to take a more personal understanding of that and saying the kingdom of God is in your heart. It's in the midst of you. It's inside of you. It's a personal thing. It's a spiritual thing. And indeed, that is true. The kingdom of God is when an individual bows before the rule and the reign and the authority of Jesus Christ in a personal relationship with him as creator, as God, as savior, and as king. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here in the midst of you because I'm here, and the kingdom of God is within you when you commit your life to me as king. The third option would be a corporate option, whereby some would suggest that Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is in the midst of and in amongst you Pharisees. I think that's the least possible option. Remember, the Pharisees are the guys that Jesus said, call them you brood of vipers. I'm not so sure. They would also be saying that the kingdom of God was in the midst of them. So that leads us to today's big idea. The kingdom of God arrived on earth when Jesus came on earth. The king shows up where the king is, there is the kingdom. And then when we yield ourselves to Christ's lordship by faith, obedience, and worship, the kingdom of God is within us. And then when we intentionally and faithfully live the kingdom life, we bring the kingdom of God near to those around us. Like with Jesus, when we show up and we live a fully yielded life to Christ by faith, obedience, love, embracing the kingdom worldview, accepting his truth, then we bring the kingdom of God near to those around us. So therefore then, the kingdom of God is here. And it's there. And it's everywhere. Wherever the king reigns supreme. So that's the big idea. So what's the big question for this morning then as we come to the text? Well, it's this. What does it look like when kingdom citizens like you and me, when we bring the kingdom of God near to those around us? If that's what the kingdom of God is all about, individuals like you and me who yield ourselves to God through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, a faith commitment to him, embracing his truth, embracing his view of the world. What do things look like when we live that kind of life day by day, here, there, and everywhere? So I want to speak with you for a moment or two about the look of kingdom citizenship. The look of kingdom citizenship, and suggest to you the following. First of all, the look of kingdom citizenship involves a faith commitment to a sovereign and holy God who's both transcendent and immanent. Now, with regularity, we see the results of polls that are taken. We're regularly told that there's a large percentage, particularly of people in America, who, quote, believe in God. They believe in God. But when you bore into that a little bit more, you find out that that vast majority of individuals give some sort of a philosophical assent to the idea or the existence of God. But if we look at those individuals who have therefore then acted on that belief and bet their lives on it, that their lives are shaped by that belief in God, a God who is not the clockmaker God who called everything into existence and then spun it into existence and now steps back and watches from heaven to see what we'll do with it. But rather, a God who is intimately involved in our lives and in the activities of the world. Well, the number of individuals who believe in that God is very, very small. But as citizens of the kingdom of God, wherever God sends us, families, friends, places of business, wherever we live with our neighbors and our neighborhoods, in our homes, he calls upon us to be full citizens of the kingdom of God, who have a faith commitment to the God who exists, who created us, and who's sovereignly involved in the history of men and women and nations, who's active and involved in the world, but who also transcends it as well. Second of all, the look of the kingdom citizenship involves an understanding that sin exists and it impacts the beliefs and the actions of individual groups. I don't know about you, but I read the news, I hear the news. All the difficulties that are being experienced around the world and in our country as well. And every manner of solution is offered up. We need more education. We need more opportunity. We need more unity. We need more gun control. Every solution that man can come up with in his mind is offered as the antidote to the difficulties that we see in life. But the one real understanding of the situation and the solution is never understood, is never articulated, and that is the difficulties that we see in the world is due to sin. People are separated from God. People are selfish. People want what they want, and they will have it, and they will do whatever it takes in order to have it. How different would things be if someone would stand up and say, yes, there needs to be more educational opportunity. Yes, we do need to figure out this situation with guns. Yes, the racial issue is something that we do need to talk about and figure out. But that's just going to be changing the icing on the cupcake, and the cupcake itself is rotten because of sin. The kingdom citizen understands that and articulates that as he or she has the opportunity so to do. Thirdly, the look of kingdom citizenship recognizes that people need the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ if any real change is going to happen. The Christian is not naive. The Christian understands the particulars of the problems that we deal with in our world each and every day. But the kingdom citizen also knows that people need forgiveness. They need to be forgiven themselves, and they need to forgive those around them. They need a change of life. They need a divine focus. They need God in their lives. They need to come under the authority and the care of the creator of the universe. How wonderful would it be if in the multiple discussions of the difficulties that we hear from our politicians and our leaders, someone would say, well, I understand all that, but what people really need is God in their lives. The citizen of the kingdom knows that. Fourthly, the look of the kingdom citizen is one whereby the Christian's transformed life has great power, and they understand that. What great power a Christian has, a kingdom citizen has, to bring into a situation of difficulty in a community, in a family, in relationships. A person whose life is possessed by and directed by and shaped by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Watch the news tonight. There's this murder. There's this demonstration. There's this difficulty. There's this strife. Think of what love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control could bring to that particular situation. That's what the kingdom citizen brings, because the kingdom citizen's life is transformed by the king. Think of what a life of hope would bring to that situation, a life of forgiveness, a life lived by the power of the Holy Spirit, a life of fellowship with people who love, a life of meaning, commitment, purpose. I watch the news and I think, how different would that person be if they lived a life of intimacy with the God who made them? That's what you represent. That's what I represent as we bring the kingdom of God near. Fifthly, the kingdom citizenship recognizes that God's plan is that the church live in the world to give a witness to the truth of the kingdom of God. That's the basis of our gathered and scattered theology. We're gathered here no more than 2% of our lives. 98% of our time is lived out there, because it's out there where we need to bring the kingdom of God near. When we're in here, we're talking to the choir. We understand these things. But at the benediction, when the doors are opened up and the church is let loose, that's God's plan. That's citizens of the kingdom of God going out into the world to make an impact through a witness to God's truth. Number six, since as we sang last week, this is my Father's world, there is no place that is off limits for the sake of bringing the kingdom of God near. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is King over all as Creator and as Redeemer. Abraham Kuyper knew this, the founder of the Free University of Amsterdam, prime minister of the Netherlands at one point in time, when he said, there is not one square inch of this terrestrial ball of which Jesus Christ cannot say, mine. And we go out onto that terrestrial ball and we give witness to the power of the kingdom of God, to friends, to family members, in places of employment, places of entertainment, places where you volunteer, in casual relationships and conversations. We must live the kingdom life and we must speak the kingdom truth. We speak the kingdom truth because seventhly, the Christian life, the life of the kingdom citizen, is founded on the Word. The Word in its many forms. the Word incarnate. It's founded on Jesus Christ, who is the Word. It's founded on the Word which is revealed, the Bible. It's founded on the Word that is lived, a life of integration, integrating our faith, what we believe, with how we live. It's life built upon the truth that is spoken. And so much of living the kingdom life is a life of having the understanding and the courage to speak the truth. To speak in accord with the promise that Jesus made to his disciples, that when we have those opportunities, don't worry about what you will say. The Lord will give you those words. To speak in a way that the Apostle Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. Speaking the truth in love. In a timely way. In a way that builds up. How would life situations be different if people like you and I would live that kingdom citizenship radically, faithfully? Further, the kingdom citizen is aware of the unique times and opportunities for advancing the kingdom of God. You know, one of the things that the Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians is you have to know when to speak and when to shut up. Boy, there's a lesson that in 71 years I've not still quite got. For some of us, we need to know when to shut up. But for many of us, we need to know when to speak. And in our world today, opportunity to speak, it's a target-rich environment. How many conversations have you had with regard to COVID, with regard to vaccinations, with regard to the education of our children, with regard to violence in our cities and around the world, with regard to all manner of national strife? The kingdom citizen needs to be like one of the men of Issachar, as the Bible describes them, men who understood the times and knew what Israel needed to do. The kingdom citizen is aware of the unique opportunities that we have. And as we yield ourselves to the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, we speak with power. Or sometimes we speak powerfully by keeping our mouths shut. Number 9, the kingdom citizen enjoys the support of the king through the ministry of the church. In God's plan, what we are about here is important. The existence of the church is vital for kingdom citizens. This is just not a club. This is just not a nursing home. This is not a gym. This is not a spa. This is the place where, according to God's plan, kingdom citizens come for care. They come for support. They come for training. They come for fellowship. We have said that the church is like a MASH unit, a mobile army surgical hospital. People come into this place 2% of their lives, and they're shot up, they're beat up, because they've been living a faithful kingdom citizenship, and they need surgery. And they need first aid. And they need good nutrition. And they need rest and encouragement. But it's not a nursing home. The purpose is to get you back out there into the fray. And so participation in the church can't be optional. We can't approach the church like Giant Eagle. Oh, they don't have this particular product in the frozen food department, so I'll go over here to Shop and Save. And they don't have it, so I'll go to Aldi's. And they don't have it, so I'll go to Trader Joe's, and I'll go here, and I'll go there, until I find what I want. As opposed to finding in the body of Christ in this place, the church, what they need. And finally, as we live faithfully, salted out into the world as kingdom citizens, the kingdom citizen knows that history is going someplace. And the kingdom citizen lives with hope. Real hope. As we've said so many times before, not hope with a question mark, I hope so, but hope with an exclamation point. Hope is something that is sure. I have that now in the present, in the midst of all kinds of difficulties, based upon what Christ has done for me in the past. My hope is a reality in the future. And until that hope is realized in me, in the second coming of Jesus Christ, to when God calls me home, then I will live faithfully as a kingdom citizen. So here's the takeaway. A citizen of the kingdom of God honors Jesus Christ as King with a faith commitment demonstrated in dependence, worship, and obedience, and embraces and implies a kingdom worldview in every aspect of life. And at all times and in all places lives the life of the kingdom of God, making it known in word and in deed. We bring the kingdom of God near here and there and everywhere, which just leaves us then with the final question. How might circumstances and situations be different if I lived this way every day in every place for my King? That's what I have to ask myself every day. And that's what the faithful kingdom citizen asks every day. How will situations be made different if I live this way for my King? I have to answer that for myself. And so do you. Well, let us pray. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ to ask this question. I pray that they will ask it. And I pray also, Lord, that you will give them the answer. Give us all the answer. Give us a vision of how things can be different when we live faithfully as citizens of the kingdom of God. We ask this, Lord, trusting that you will answer us, you will enable us, you will direct us, you will encourage us, and you will accomplish your work through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.